This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, bringing you the biggest stories from across Texas. The Headline gives you the news you need to be an informed citizen.
Beto O'Rourke is flip-flopping again. This time he says he does want to take your guns. Plus, Governor Greg Abbott is poised to snub the Republican Party of Texas convention later this month. We'll have details on that. And finally, Texans for Fiscal Responsibility has unveiled their three-step prosperity plan to cut government spending. I'll speak with their president, Tim Hardin, about that. I'm Brandon Waltons. This is The Headline.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
I'm not interested in taking anything from anyone. What I want to make sure that we do is defend the Second Amendment.
I just took the position that may not be politically popular, maybe too honest, that not only should no one be able to purchase an AR-15 or an AK-47 because they're designed to kill humans, and that high-impact, high-velocity round will just tear up everything inside. You'll bleed out before we can get you back to life. But I don't think that the people who have them right now in civilian use should be able to keep them.
All right, and you can get whiplash from watching that back and forth. It's hard to even know where he stands on this. Maybe to give a little bit of insight into that, we've got Chris McNutt, the executive director of Texas Gun Rights. Chris, I mean, one second he's saying, no, I'm not going to take away your guns. Now he's saying he wants to confiscate all AR-15s. What are Texans really supposed to believe about Beto O'Rourke's position on this?
You know, clearly Beto's a political opportunist. He goes with whatever way the wind's blowing at the time. Of course, when he ran for president, as you mentioned, he was for assault weapons bans, or so-called assault weapons bans. We all know that they're just normal semi-automatic sporting rifles. And then, you know, now that he's trying to shamelessly exploit the blood of innocent children, he's all of a sudden back to supporting assault weapons bans after he had kind of pulled back from that when he first started running for governor. So he saw the opportunity to try to raise millions of dollars from the coastal elites that fill the coffers of his campaigns, and that's all he's doing.
We've seen Texas Democrats calling for a special session on some of those measures you just mentioned. This week, Governor Greg Abbott didn't do that, didn't announce a special session, but instead tasked the Texas House and the Texas Senate with looking into things like firearm safety, mental health, school safety, etc. His charges were pretty broad. Is that enough to bring concern? Is that something gun owners should be concerned about right now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like Obama administration chief of staff Rahm Emanuel said, you know, never let a serious crisis go to waste. And like I said, they don't hesitate, and they will do whatever they can to push their radical agenda. You know, before the crime scene was fully even processed, you know, all of a sudden we hear instant calls for more gun control from the gun control lobby and Democrat lawmakers from all across the country. Calls for assault weapons bans, which, you know, at the time we weren't sure whether the killer used a handgun or a rifle or shotgun, yet they were calling for an assault weapons ban right off the bat. Universal background checks were being called. And, you know, now we know after the fact that the killer actually did successfully pass a federal background check. So universal background checks wouldn't do anything to solve what happened in Uvalde. And, you know, that's really why it is so important that we wait for the investigation to play out, let cooler heads prevail, and see what actually caused this before, you know, we jump to the hysteria of passing gun control, which frankly just aims to strip more law-abiding citizens of their right to keep and bear arms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Republican Party of Texas Chairman Matt Rinaldi said this week on exactly that issue, said, you know, I'm against a 30-day special session where Democrats are going to have the opportunity to grandstand. And the best case scenario is our rights stay intact. I think that really sums up the situation quite well. Chris, thank you so much for joining us. Speaking of the Republican Party of Texas, later this month, in just 2 weeks, nearly 10,000 delegates are poised to attend the Republican Party of Texas convention in Houston. This is something that happens every 2 years. 2 years ago, it was a virtual event, but normally it's a massive in-person event where Republicans from across the state get to convene and create their legislative priorities, tweak the party platform, elect party leadership, and most importantly, prepare for the election in November, the general election where they'd be facing Democrat candidates. As you can imagine, a big convention of this kind, it's not a cheap thing to put on. There's a lot of sponsors, right? You got different groups that sponsor it. Sometimes you have companies that will sponsor financially as well. But traditionally, you also have elected officials, and specifically elected statewide Republican officials, footing a good portion of the bill. Well, this year, that is the case, save for one notable exception. That's Governor Greg Abbott. Governor Greg Abbott, who is ostensibly at the top of the statewide elected officials on the Republican side right now, is poised to snub the Republican Party of Texas convention. In fact, you look at the sponsor list we have up at texasscorecard.com. You've got Dan Patrick, Glenn Hagar, Ken Paxton, John Cornyn, Ted Cruz. The list goes on with these Republicans. And yet, Governor Greg Abbott has not only said he's not going to sponsor the convention, but he's not even going to speak and address delegates. Instead, he says he's going to be holding his own welcome party. The interesting thing about this welcome party, of course, is that none of this money is going to go to the party, right? This is a separate event where he's going to be speaking beforehand. Now, this is certainly a strange move, but not that strange when you look at the context of what's happened over the last few years. I mentioned that virtual Republican Party of Texas convention 2 years ago, where Governor Greg Abbott had kind of an icy reception, I guess as icy a reception as you can get from a virtual convention, because during that time, he had just instituted the statewide mask mandate, and parties, local county parties across the state, were starting to censure him for that. Perhaps that's his strategy now. Perhaps he wants to avoid those Republican voters, those base that has been frustrated with some of the actions he has done in the wake of COVID. Keep in mind, we are 27, 28 months into a statewide COVID emergency. Whatever the reason is, it certainly says something when the largest, biggest fundraising Republican, who would be Governor Greg Abbott right now in Texas, is avoiding the very people who put him into office. It's very, very strange. Texas Scorecard will be at the Republican Party of Texas convention later this month, and so will another organization, Texans for Fiscal Responsibility. Right now, I've got their president, Tim Hardin, joining me right now. Tim, what do you make, by the way, of Governor Abbott not apparently going to sponsor or speak at the Republican Party of Texas convention?
It's pretty strange. I've never even heard of that before. A sitting governor not showing up to the party convention. I really don't know what to think about it, quite honestly.
Yeah, very, very strange. But that's not why I have you here. Your organization has announced this week a big, big effort that we're going to be seeing as we move into the legislative session next year. Which is the prosperity plan, a three-step plan to actually cut government spending. Before we get in, I want to ask you about all three of these prongs. But first, you know, we're talking about cutting government spending. It seems so many times conservatives are only talking about slowing, like the growth of rate of spending. This is a real opportunity for conservatives to go on offense.
That's correct. That's correct. You know, when we were putting together this plan, we saw that common narrative, whether it's property taxes, whether it's our state budget, it's the strategy is to slow down the growth. We put caps on things. We try to slow things down, but we never have the conversation of actually pushing back the other way and actually actively making cuts to things, whether that's property taxes or our budget.
And so this is a simple three-prong plan. It's the prosperity plan. What's that first prong?
So first prong is going to be something that has pulled very well. As a matter of fact, it passed with flying colors, I believe, a few years back, was banning taxpayer-funded lobbying. And I know y'all had covered this. We had covered this last go-around. I believe it was Mays Middleton was one of the representatives that carried this. Of course, this is the practice of using tax dollars for local municipalities or political subdivisions to hire lobbyists who then go down to Austin and lobby against taxpayers to collect even more tax money from them. So it's an immoral practice and it needs to end. And I believe it's over 95% of Republican primary voters agree that this thing needs to stop.
Yeah, Republican voters say this needs to stop. It seems that the politicians, right, are largely the people who are defending this practice and the lobbyists themselves. What's part two?
Part two is the elimination of property taxes, right? And so you know, our stance on this is property taxes are yet again another immoral law. And the reason we frame it this way is if you have paid off your house, you will continue to pay property taxes perpetually on your property. And so what that means is you actually pay rent towards the government. There is a better way to fund local governments. And you can visit our website and look at our plan, but it's going to involve this massive surplus that we have coming up. Last estimate, we should get a new estimate from the controller, but I believe it's going to be around $15 billion is the latest rumor, but we'll see here in a couple months. But that is the taxpayers' money, not the state of Texas's money. And that money needs to go back to the taxpayers.
So many times people say, man, I would love for property taxes to be eliminated, but I just don't see how that's feasible. Where would the money come from? I think that kind of moves into the third and final part of this prosperity plan.
That's right. So the third point is what we're deeming a no growth budget. And this comes off of actually a major victory for grassroots and conservatives this last go round, where we passed a spending limit that limited the growth of the government to population plus inflation. This yet again, although it is a victory, it still is kind of under that common, let's slow things down. What most people don't understand is the budget in 2000, I believe, was at $90 billion. We are estimating that this next biennium, we're probably going to be inching close to $300 billion. And so we have tripled our state budget in the last 20 years. Of course, property taxes have gone up 181%. So we see this common trend. Would like the new conservative metric to be, let's stop the growth of government completely until we deal with things like property taxes. Because if we cut or stop the growth, revenue would continue to increase. That surplus money can then be used to pay down compression rates and take care of some of this other financial stuff.
And what do people need to do if they want to see this happen? Maybe they say, okay, I love this plan. What's next? What do I do?
So what taxpayers can do is go to our website, texastaxpayers.com. There is a section on the Texas Prosperity Plan. You can go and read about it, watch the video. We would also encourage you to sign up to support the plan as well. And of course, sign up for our fiscal note as well, which is a weekly newsletter where we give updates. I would encourage those delegates. We are pushing to make as many of these as priorities as possible in the Republican platform. And so that's the short term. What can be done is let's get as much of this in the Republican platform as we can, and then we will look forward to legislative session and putting pressure on lawmakers to pass some fiscal reform that is much needed.
It is much needed. Thank you so much for joining us, Tim. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of The Headline. If you liked watching it, hit that subscribe button, hit the bell so you can get notifications every time Texas Scorecard has new content. And speaking of Texas Scorecard, by the way, we are hiring. If you go to texasscorecard.com/opportunities, you can find out more about some of the positions we have available. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to The Headline. You can watch the premiere of The Headline on our website at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you like today's production, please consider subscribing and leaving a review on whatever podcasting platform you listen on.